Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, I have Berto Calkins. He is a vegan social media content creator from New York City. We actually met in January of this year, I believe, when we went to St. Lucia. And he has a podcast, so we definitely clicked on a New York vibe. And here he is today. So hi, Berto. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Marianne?
It's good to see you well.
Again, after a long time of not seeing you. So yeah, it's pretty dope to be here.
And I think it's crazy because we were both in Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic, literally like a week ago. We missed each other, but again, like how small the world is that?
Exactly. I love that place too. Dominican Republic is great. I got myself a nice little tan and I'm ready to get back to my regular routine.
Yes, you look good.
Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we start by having you introduce yourself to my listeners. Tell us who you are and what you do, and what is your relationship like with New York City?
Okay, so I'm Berto, and I was born and raised in New York, in the Lower East Side, actually. I currently live in Brooklyn, but I'm from the Lower East Side, and I'm a content creator. I do YouTube videos, I do TikTok, I do Instagram. I do a lot of things, but as far as like income goes, I work with other brands. And before that, I was a personal trainer for a while. So I've been heavy into fitness for like a long time, and I became vegan kind of accidentally. It just was a gradual progression. So I accidentally became vegan because when I moved to California, I was living with somebody, my ex. It was a little complicated situation, but she was pescatarian for maybe a couple years before I moved out there. And then when I moved out there, I was just like, all right, let me just try something new, something different. I've been open to like changing my eating for a while. So I was just like, whatever, I'll try something new. So I decided to go pescatarian, and I did that for 2 years. And then after that, I went vegetarian, and it's because we went to a supermarket and we went to get like tuna steaks, which we normally would get. But this tuna steak was kind of like changing color. Like it wasn't the normal color of a tuna steak. So we brought it to the associate, who was really cool, nice guy. And we asked him, we're like, yo, is this okay to buy? And he was like, nah. He was like, to be honest, there's been so many recalls with the fish here. So he was like, don't buy it. And then it got us starting thinking about like the mercury in fish and like seafood. So after that, we went vegetarian and did that for like 4 months and became vegan after that, because after I read an article that said that it was bad karma to like eat animals or consume animals in any which way. So I personally felt that. I was just like, I feel like I'm gonna be a hypocrite if I continue to like use animals in different ways after like reading that. And then went vegan, and I just made like 8 years of being vegan. So it's been a while.
Well, congrats on your, I guess, vegan anniversary of a lifestyle. I would love to know that transition. I understand why you became vegan, but were there any parts of that journey where it was difficult, or did it just honestly come really smooth to you?
It was pretty easy. It was interesting because every time I gave something up, I would be like, oh, as long as I have this, I'm good. So let's say, for example, when I gave up like beef and chicken, I was like, oh, as long as I have shrimp, I'm fine. As long as I have salmon, I'm fine. But then I gave that up. And then I was just like, all right, into my like pastries. I love snacks. So I was just like, as long as I have my honey buns and my bear claws, I'm good. I'm good. But then I gave that up too. And I would just keep on finding different replacements. And that just was my progression. And I'm a person who doesn't like to feel like I need something. So like, I like to have some detachment in anything, everything that I do. So it felt good to feel like I'm not relying on something so heavily. So yeah, that was my progression. It was pretty easy for me also because I had somebody who was vegan with me. I know it's difficult for people who are like in relationships sometimes that are like one eats meat and then the other is like trying to be more plant-based. And that poses so many different issues. And for me, because I had somebody who I can relate to in that way, it was fine.
Yeah, I think support is really, really important. But I would love to dive deeper into the mindset, because when I'm hearing you speak about that transition, people could be like, okay, that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But the way you approached it was saying, okay, at least I have X, Y, and Z, right? And then that kept becoming smaller and smaller, or maybe you replaced it with, you know, other things that were part of the vegan lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you have such a interesting mindset, and I'm curious to know, like, how did you cultivate that growing up? Because I'm a New Yorker too. I also grew up in the LES, and I feel like we're definitely resilient creatures. But has there been a specific incident growing up or anything that you can pinpoint where you were like, okay, this is the moment I chose to look at life this way?
I don't think it was in a specific event, but I think overall my personality is like, I'm very much introverted. I'm not socially awkward, but I just love being by myself. And with that, I make decisions that are independent of other people's thinking. So it could be everybody who's going this one way and then I'll go this way. And not to say that I don't go that way sometimes, it's just that if I find something that is useful to me, then I'll just go with it and I don't think twice about it. Like, I don't really care what other people are doing. I don't care about their opinions towards what I'm doing. I'm just like, I'm gonna do it regardless. Like, either you're gonna like support me or you're not. And if you don't, then that's all good too. I don't like, it's that detachment thing again.
Yeah.
I don't need that support. Like, I'm always gonna be resilient and persevere in everything that I do. So it doesn't really matter.
No, I love that. And I think, you know, I don't know what your circle is like, but do you have a lot of friends that are vegan or both vegan and non-vegan?
It's so funny because I literally just posted a TikTok about how important it is to have different people that you can relate to in different ways. So I have vegan friends, I have non-vegan friends, because oftentimes it's like you will find, and it's a little bit different now, but like once you start growing in a different way, like let's say social media, then you find that you're around people that you can't necessarily relate to. Uh-huh. So, and those people might be vegan, but you can't relate to them on a ground level. Like, they can't relate to me growing up in a hood. Like,
right.
So I have other friends who are not vegan, but they have a similar background as me, like grew up in a hood, lower income community, on food stamps, all of that stuff. And I don't take it for granted. Like, I don't want to get rid of my friends just because they're not vegan. You know, that makes no sense to me. Like, people are going to make their choices and that's their choice to make. And I made my choice and I understand. Like, I grew up eating everything. I grew up eating everything. So I made the decision to like be vegan after a while of people like knowing me. So it's just like, my growth isn't in a way that is like disregarding other people that have been in my life for a long time. It's not like that. So it's important for me to have different friends that I can relate to in different ways.
I love that you said that, especially the part where you were saying that you're not really trying to impose your views on others. And that's something that I noticed right away from meeting you, because I've also met other people who are, you know, vegan or anything, you know, in terms of, I guess, what's it called, like dietary restrictions or just diets in general. And they do, like at the people that I've experienced, they're very passionate about it. And when that passion is expressed, it's more like, but you should see it my way, and kind of my way is the right way. Whereas I know when I met you, I told you this too, personally, that I really admire that you were like, this is why I'm vegan, right? I'm totally open to explaining my story, but there was no ounce of your story in trying to convince me or the others, because you were the only vegan in our group. And I love that. So that's why I asked you what your friend group was like, because I'm curious to see, like, if you have a group dinner, what is that process like? Are you guys choosing, are you guys looking at places that have vegan options prior to booking it, or do you just always know you'll find something on the menu?
All right. So the interesting thing about my friends are that they're very supportive and they're very curious as to what I'm doing. So it's oftentimes, it's not us like trying to go to a place that like trying to accommodate for like vegan or not. It's them being interested in going to vegan places because of me. So we just go there and then I tell them like, this is good. Or we try something new. Or if we go to somewhere that has vegan options, that's cool. It just kind of works out. It's never awkward. Like it's never, ever awkward. Like my friend group, I would say the closest people to me are a couple vegan, a couple non-vegans, but they're like, and all of them, not all of them, but most of them don't live in New York City. Okay. So when we meet up, we're just, it becomes like more of an event.
Right.
It's not like we're going out all the time, you know, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't really go out like that anyway. But that's just how it works out. And I find that just being an example says a lot. And this is how I was for a long time. And I did fall into like more like protesting and stuff like that for a brief time. I think it was maybe like 2 or 3 months. And I found that that wasn't for me, because a lot of the people, and not all of the people, but a lot of the people, they were just kind of aggressive for no reason. And not passionate aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell when somebody's passionate about something often versus when somebody has been bullied as a kid and they're trying to put that on somebody else. That's what it felt like for me. Mm-hmm. It's just like certain cops, you know, or people that become cops and they treat people a certain way. Just like, oh, I know how you grew up. You got punked as a kid, and that's why you're going about things in this way. So it wasn't for me, and I wanted to reach a certain type of person. I wanted to reach people that look like me. And it's often through the food. I want to be an example of what you can like eat if you are interested in eating more like vegan food and whatnot, and not putting pressure on it. I'm really trying to get like people's opinion on it. You know, that's why I started this series called Hood Dudes Try Vegan Food, with people from my hood that are not vegan, but they're telling me certain things like, oh, Erdo, that you hear about this vegan place that they're going to on their own, that they're not vegan. So you can see that things are like changing within their mind, and they're just like telling me about new spots. I'm like, nah, I didn't know about this. But it's just like, I like to keep it more community, especially with the people that I grew up with and I can relate to in a growing up aspect. Yeah.
No, that's beautiful. And I think what it is really, it's just how we assign meaning to words. Like there, when we think of vegan, I think people have their own, you know, like judgments or observations or experiences on that word and how they apply that meaning. But if you strip that away, just like what you were saying, and if it's strictly about food, right? So if you like blindfold somebody and you have them say something, it could just be like, do you like this? Is this good? And their answer can be obviously yes or no, because as we know, taste and everything is subjective. And then once you say, okay, well, that was vegan.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how and if that changes their response to like their experience, right? So that's how I see it, because I'm not vegan, but I'm like your friends. I will try a vegan restaurant. And it's funny, I'll bring other friends. And then they're like, okay, if you didn't tell me it was vegan, I wouldn't have known. Mm-hmm. So what does that have anything to really do with the experience, right? Like, it's just, it's interesting. And I'm also curious, I know you travel a lot, mm-hmm. And you showcase that through your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So what has been the biggest struggle and challenge when you're traveling and trying to also maintain a vegan lifestyle, especially if you're in cultures that there might be language barriers, and, mm-hmm. you know, in some cultures, it could be offensive to not eat a certain food. So tell me about that.
So with my travels, I mostly, like for my solo travels, I've been going to mostly Spanish-speaking countries, okay. and I've been studying Spanish for like the past year. So it's been something that has been fun for me. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when I'm like traveling to these places, I'll go to like a hole in a wall place, mm-hmm. and I'll ask them in Spanish, and I'm like, does this have like any mm-hmm. animal products? And it is never really awkward. Like people usually are accommodating, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you what's in it and like what's not in it. And there's been some places where I'm just like, all right, there's nothing for me here, mm-hmm. whatever, I'll just find something else. But I don't stress about it too much. Like there's always like the basic stuff like rice and beans, and mm-hmm. unless somebody's, you know, putting like animal fat in it or mm-hmm. like broth, or, you know, and it's just communicate. And let's say, for example, when we went to St. Lucia, mm-hmm. too, that was an interesting thing too, because like they were very accommodating towards my lifestyle, and I think they have fun with it in the kitchen. They were excited that last day that we were there, mm-hmm. they were excited to bring me the vegan meal that they put mm-hmm. together. And I was just like, this is cool. Like, you know, I love those experiences. And I understand how like culturally like things are different in different places. So when I go to like a specific country and I see things that are not necessarily in alignment with my lifestyle, I don't have judgment towards it, because I'm just like, they do things differently mm-hmm. there. And I think oftentimes people who come from like the United States, they have like a certain like outlook on that, because this is such a different experience for them, and they can be more passionate about, you know, being vegan and whatnot. But I think reality is like, you just have to be open-minded to how other people are living and not really judging for like, you, what are you going to do? Like, what are you really going to do? Are you going to like try to implement change there? That's one thing. Like if you are thinking about opening a vegan restaurant in a place mm-hmm. like that, that's one thing, versus you just attacking somebody for what they're doing culturally. In the United States, we have a lot of privilege when it comes to how we eat. We have so many different choices. We have different restaurants, different supermarkets. We have so many different options of how we're gonna eat. So I understand that my eating is a little bit different than how it could be in other countries too. And where there is a will, there is a way, but in certain places, it can be a lot more difficult.
This is so interesting. I love it. Okay. So I understand what you were saying about the challenges. So I guess what are, I don't want to say benefits, because I'm not trying to make this about like, you know, people should go vegan or not, but let's talk about like benefits in terms of you showcasing your travels, your eating, your lifestyle, being a content creator. Like what has been, I guess, the biggest impact that you have seen personally in your brand and your values, sticking really, you know, like strong by them, and just like your content creation, like journey, I guess, as a whole, incorporating the vegan lifestyle?
Yeah, I think that one of the impacts from like traveling and showcasing vegan options, like I've gotten a lot of feedback from people like, oh, I'm putting this on a list or whatever. Like when I go here, I was thinking about going here. This is so helpful, you know, that type of stuff. But overall impact, like I've had a lot of people in my life while I was, you know, creating content, like tell me, oh, you've been like such a key part in me changing my eating habits, whether that's them becoming vegan, eating more plant-based, or just being more conscious of the stuff that they're putting into their bodies. It's been very humbling in a way, because it's just like, I could never really imagine that in a way. Like when I first became vegan, I not too long after decided that I was gonna do my Instagram and then like, you know, grow it, make it like more of like a business type thing. But it still surprises me when people tell me how much my social media has like impacted them. But for me personally, I think traveling for me has been a great thing outside of the vegan lifestyle stuff, because I grew up not going anywhere. Like my mom's first time getting on a plane, she was 65 mm-hmm. or 66 or something like that. And that was like some years ago. And my first time getting on a plane, I think I was like 19. And my first time actually getting out of the United States was last year. Mm-hmm. So it's been really, it's been great for me to do that for myself. And of course, you know, I share the content and a lot of people benefit from it. But despite it doing good or bad, I got personal satisfaction from going beyond my neighborhood, and it's been great.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you transitioned into that, because I know we spoke a lot about like veganism and kind of what you do and all that, but my whole point of the podcast is to like invite guests to talk about who they are. But more than that, it's like, you are not identified as a vegan content creator, right? That's like maybe a part of your identity in a way, yeah. But I would love to know like Berto. So it's like in this moment as we are recording, if you can share with us like what is stressing you out just as an individual, and it can be something that's personal or professional, whatever, you know, you feel comfortable sharing. But I think a lot of New Yorkers, like, I'm stressed all the time, like all the time. And most of the time, I feel like it's all on me. Like, it's just like when I actually sit down and I get everything out in the open, or like put down what my tasks are, then I'm like, okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But New Yorkers are just like always stressed out. So I'm curious to know, like for you right now, I know you just came back from your trip. Where is your mindset in this moment?
In this moment, I'm very optimistic about me creating content, because as a content creator, like, you go through the motions, like, things do good, things do bad. Like, I expected my travel stuff to do a lot better than it did before. I mean, than like my previous content, whereas people were more so married towards like the vegan specific, like what I eat in a day's type stuff. So that was stressing me for a bit, until I was just like, oh no, don't forget, this is also for you. Like, it's not just the work that you're putting into growing your own platform. It is also something that you wanted to do personally for yourself. So that's been great for me. But as far as stresses in this moment, I don't think that there's too many stresses right now. We just did resign this lease, which was a debate. We were trying to figure out.
Did your rent go up?
Yeah, just by $100, but okay, kind of technically a little bit more than $100. Mm-hmm. Well, more than $100, because we did get a couple free months. Mm-hmm. So, but not now. So now it's back to the regular. Just like, oh. But right now I'm in a good space. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm more open to just like creating things that I love and doing cool things with cool people, like this right here. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, thank you for asking me to be on the podcast too, because I've been asked to be on podcasts numerous times, and I don't feel it. I always say no. I've been on a few in the past, and I just don't feel it. But when you asked me, I was just like, nah, she's cool. Let's do this. So that's how I feel at the moment.
Yeah. No, that makes me happy to hear too, that like when I asked you the question, you didn't feel pressured to like make up something. And that I always say that, you know, it like life ebbs and flows. And as I'm talking to you right now, like, it seems like life is good, and that's good. Yeah. You know, we know that's not forever, and that's not always permanent, but I love that you're like, you know what? Like, I'm at a really good place in my life, because I think it's okay to also be in a good place. Like, it's okay to celebrate every phase in your life. So that's amazing. Let's talk about success, because we never spoke about these topics before, but what does success look like to you, or like feel like?
Success for me feels like comfort. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of general too, but it's like not stressing about bills, not stressing about basic bills, and then also being fulfilled in your career. That is one of the like main things for me. And I've struggled with it too, where it's just times where I'm just like, I don't like doing what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And this is like social media stuff too. Like right now I feel good about it, mm-hmm. but you would have asked me a month ago, I would have been like, I don't want to do this right now. Like me naturally being a private person, people on social media, they want to dig into like every aspect of your life. And I'm not with that. Like if I could do things all over again and be behind the scenes, I probably would, to be honest. And even at this stage in my life, if I had the money like coming in and I'd be behind the scenes and you don't really have to see my face, I would be happy with that too. That's just how I am. Like, I'm not gonna like sugarcoat it. that's just what it is. And it's not to say that I don't appreciate my platform and I don't appreciate the people that follow me and get like help from the things that I do. I just am a naturally private person. Like I don't, there's a lot of my life that I don't show, that people don't know about, like my family, mm-hmm. they don't know about my daughter, they don't mm-hmm. know about so many different aspects of my life because I want it that way. So I need to be able to maintain that for myself, and that keeps my sanity. If I was to actually give everything, then I would feel like, what is there left for me? You know, that type of thing. So I don't know.
No, I'm nodding in agreement because I literally feel the same. And I know people here who might hear this might be in shock too. Mm. But I personally have been Instagram for 10 years. Like I've had my account since 2011. And again, I'm so grateful. So grateful for my platform, for the opportunities, people like you that I've met. Like it's been amazing. Mm. But there comes a time when people don't realize that when you've been on Instagram for so long, you are growing as an individual, right? And then the platform is also growing. Mm. But it's like, how is that relationship, you know, forming and changing? And I feel like I've been super private as well. And I think that's why I started this podcast. Before doing video, it was just audio. And I felt like I need to be able to like kind of speak my truth. Like there were so many things that I was like, people don't know about me. Mm-hmm. And it's better if it's through a conversation. It's better through audio. You can be more vulnerable. But when there's like video, and I'm talking about more of like stories and like content, it's like, I'm not saying it's fake, but it's just also not real.
I agree with that. And I feel like with my podcast, I completely relate to you when you said that, because I feel like sharing the stuff that I shared on my podcast, which is more personal to me, it just feels like you can be more of yourself. And it feels like less pressure too. It's just like, I don't know if you look at your numbers, but I don't really be looking at my numbers like that when it comes to podcasts. I'm just like, I just want to talk.
Yep. Like this is a passion project for me, you know?
Exactly. Like, and I think once, I've done some brand like sponsorships through my podcast, mm-hmm. but I think once it becomes like more of a thing, that's when it starts, your podcast or whatever content starts to suffer a little bit if you're constantly looking for that. I think once money really gets involved into like certain art or content, like it changes things a little bit. And with my podcast, it's still me, you know, like saying whatever I want, and it's personal to me, and I don't feel like much like pressure in doing it. Whereas with Instagram, that's like the moneymaker. YouTube a little bit, but not very much, but like it's a little bit different when it comes to those platforms versus like being on your podcast, you know.
Yeah, no, I love the messaging that you just like said, and it's about like holding on to certain things for yourself just for yourself, because it creates the sense of like, it's not even pride, but it's like security within yourself. It's like what you were saying, if you give everything away, like what do you have left, right? Like, and I think when you give so much away, you're also giving away your power. You're giving away your power to other people to take, to judge, to do whatever they please. But it's like, you also have control of how much you give. So it's finding that balance, and it's definitely hard, but I love that you just shed light to that, because I'm sure a lot of people who even, you know, watch your videos or follow you have no idea that like, this is a big part of our jobs.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's huge. And, like even with traveling and doing YouTube and stuff like that, like I would have to constantly remind myself, like, all right, Berto, put the camera down, like actually experience the experience, like be present. And it's fine. Yeah. Finding that balance, it just helps so much. And I think oftentimes if you're like a person who's just like constantly working and trying to like satisfy people, and in the things that you show it, like you suffer, you suffer quite a bit. So you have to like be very like mindful of that.
No, absolutely. So as we are wrapping up, I love to ask my guests to share a confession, because my podcast is called The City Confessions. And this can be anything. It can be something silly, something deep, something related personally or professionally. But Berto, if you can share a city confession with all of us, what would that be?
All right, I'm gonna have to think about this for a little bit.
Yeah, I know people always get stumped.
Yeah, all right.
What is something maybe like people don't know about you, or that you're like a fun fact or a misconception or an insecurity, a fear, any of that?
I'll share a fear. Okay, so I'm named after Roberto Clemente, who's actually a baseball player who passed away in a plane accident like years ago, trying to deliver supplies to Nicaragua, who had a natural disaster. I think it might've been an earthquake or something like that. So for the longest time, I was scared to get on planes. And even now at this moment of me like still traveling, I still get a little bit like scared about being on planes, because I'm just like, I don't wanna die the same way. And it's like, sometimes I would think about it. Like if I'm in a plane, I'm like, yo, I don't know. Like this thing is like making a too much of a turn. I'm like, what if it goes to the water? I'm just like, all right, close the window, listen to music, and then zone out. So I guess that's a confession of mine, that I am afraid to die in a plane crash, but specifically in a water, because I can't swim.
I can't swim either. We bonded over that. But that's actually a valid like fear and confession.
Yeah.
I think like if somebody had my name as well, it's like, you know, you're not them, but there's also like, wait, like that's also my name. So I totally can like understand. I think it's super valid. So thank you for sharing that. And then at the end, I do a quick fast round related to New York City. So the questions I ask, you can answer in one sentence or one word maximum. Okay. So if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
One word?
Mm-hmm.
Can I hyphen two words?
Yes.
Beautiful chaos.
I love it. What's your favorite thing about New York?
My favorite thing about New York is also one of the things I don't like about New York is the busyness of it.
Okay, well then you answer both questions, because my next one was going to be, what's your least favorite? And then this will be interesting. What's your favorite go-to spot? Like restaurant, cafe?
My favorite go-to spot, I would say at the moment, have to think about this real quick. There's so many good places.
Do you have like a usual spot that you know, like you always go to, or?
You know, I would say, let's just say Jaja. Yeah, that's a very convenient place for me to go to kind of often, so, or order from.
Right, and if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Thank you for giving me the grind to succeed. Yes.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast. Now it is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes and the description, but are you working on anything that you can tease or that you want to just like let the audience know?
All right. So I am starting to do a lot more TikTok, and that might be like the priority right now, just posting away, not thinking too much about it. So TikTok and my podcast, I'm going to start posting more consistently again. I had a long run of doing it consistently, and then, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
And then you don't as much, but I would say are the priorities right now. And then of course, Instagram is always,
it's always running in the background.
I keep on going with that. And my YouTube, I'm not doing as much travel YouTube, like long form travel YouTube videos as much, but I'm starting to do more like shorts there. So you can find that there, but anything new, I don't think so. Not at the moment.
Okay. Well, as a content creator, you always have things coming up. So I will leave all of your information there. And we have 1 minute left. So I'm so happy we wrapped up. But thank you again, Berto. It was so lovely speaking with you. And for everybody watching and listening, thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Feel free to give Berto a follow and check out his content. And I will see you all next week. All right. Bye.